IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Shooting Space, the podcast where I talk about what's happening in the women's game, talk to some really, really awesome, inspirational people, and just kind of keep it real with everyone about what's going on in the lacrosse universe in general. Today, I am really excited to have someone that I look up to, that I know a bunch of us look up to, and I've been looking forward to recording this pod with them for such a long time. Taylor Cummings is on the pod today. I'm sure everyone knows, but I got to throw the accolades out there because y'all know I like to hype people up. So we know Taylor as not only an inspirational player, as a really great role model for us, won 4 state championships in high school at McDonough in Maryland, and we know that they're pretty infamous for only losing one game in the 4 years that she was there, 2 national championships with the Terps, the youngest woman to ever win the Tourton. We're going to talk about that, and the only person, male or female, to win it 3 times, the only 3-time Tourton winner, which is insane, amongst other accolades. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Really excited to be here.
Awesome, awesome. So did I miss anything? Are there any other highlights you want to throw out there?
No, you got them all.
I try. I'm like, okay, make it real quick, but there's a lot, and they'll all be sprinkled in here. But, you know, I think just starting off, let's talk about how you got into lacrosse as a fellow Marylander. Just really curious. I always love to hear about, you know, where people played, how they started, how they picked up the stick, all of that good stuff.
So I moved to Maryland from Richmond, Virginia, when I was like 4 or 5, and obviously, you know, coming from Richmond to Maryland in like 1998 or 1999, lacrosse wasn't really outside of the hotbeds. And so I didn't know what lacrosse was until I came to Maryland. So once I moved here and was like 4 or 5 years old, people on my street, you know, they constantly outside in the street or in the backyard playing lacrosse. And all of my friends at elementary school started to play as well. So being a competitor and also wanting to try to make new friends and fit in, I thought, oh, this is a great kind of way to do both. And so I started to play, played in my first rec league probably when I was like 7 or 8, no, 7. And then went through, you know, rec to travel to club to high school to college to U.S. and pro. So I've been playing, I'm 25, so I've had a stick in my hand since, you know, past 20 years.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. It's so cool to be able to track the progression too of like where you started and the different points in your life and, you know, all the different places you've played, the teammates that you've met, friends you've made. I think that's one of my favorite things about the lacrosse journey is just looking back and thinking of all the places that we start playing and where we end up. It's so cool to be able to hear that. And so, kind of fast forwarding a little bit to your high school experience. So I touched a little bit on your experience, you know, accolades at McDonough, but what was that like? I mean, when you, I don't even know, did you like pick to go to McDonough? How did you come upon going there? And then what were your expectations going in, and how did it feel to like play there at that time?
So my club coach at the time for M&D was Scott Robinson, and his brother was Chris Robinson, the McDonough head coach. And so around 8th grade, you know, my parents were looking into different options about, you know, either staying at the public school I would have been districted to, which is Marriott's Ridge, another, you know, public school powerhouse in Maryland, or going to McDonough. That was kind of my 2 choices. And I think, you know, as an 8th grader, it was really uncomfortable for me to go outside of, you know, my norm and what felt, you know, very safe to me. But my parents, you know, thought that this would be a really great opportunity for me to grow in the classroom, to grow as a person, to grow on the fields and courts at McDonough, just given the strength of their athletics in general. And so I went to McDonough, and it was probably the best decision my parents ever made for me. I, of course, had input, but at the end of the day, you know, I was an 8th grader, and they were going to do what they thought was best for me. And, luckily it turned out. It was a great experience. I made lifelong friends. I'm now a coach there, and the teachers that I met are still, some of them are still there, and they're now friends. And the people that I met at McDonough are, going to be my best friends. There's probably five or six of us who still keep in touch pretty much every day. And it was just a great experience socially, on field, out in the classroom. I couldn't really say enough great things about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. We'll loop back around to coaching there, but I think that speaks volumes for your experience there and the people you met, the influence that the school had on your life to, want to go back and continue growing, growing the program. And to talk a little bit more about lacrosse specifically, when you got to McDonough, did you have any certain expectations about playing? Like, were you like, we're going to go out there, we're going to crush, we're going to win all these championships, or was it just business as usual? You're like, I'm going to a great program and I'm just going to play lacrosse and it's going to be awesome.
I mean, definitely was intimidated, as any high school freshman would, and especially being at a new school, you kind of doubled that intimidation. McDonough hadn't yet won a championship in the A conference of the IAM. They had been competing, but hadn't yet won. But I mean, obviously going to that school, it was going to be a tough athletic environment in soccer, basketball, and lacrosse, which were the three I played. So I just tried to go out there and give it my all, made JV soccer and then made varsity basketball and lacrosse. And, as a freshman, it was trying to learn a new system, trying to absorb as much information as I could and become a sponge and learn from, the older girls above me. I had such amazing, upperclassmen, and Taylor Verdon, who went to Duke, and Margaret Smith, who went to Notre Dame, and all of these different juniors in particular who really took me under their wing. And as the only freshman on varsity, it was triple as scary my freshman year. And so they really took me under their wing and kind of helped me survive freshman year. Awesome. But after that, it was just at the end of the day, we were playing lacrosse and we were having fun and trying to learn and get better as a group. And it was just a really great experience.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Shout out to that leadership for taking you under their wing. And in terms of the record, that's kind of in the lacrosse world, especially in women's lacrosse, the record that McDonough has had has always been kind of the hot topic. And I wonder, as a player and now as a coach, how much pressure did you feel with that record? Like, did that feel like a monkey on y'all's back, or was it just a matter of, we're here to compete and we have a goal in mind and we're going to ignore what everyone else is saying and just do our own thing?
I was pretty fortunate where, I was only like 3.5 years with the record. So it didn't really, it just felt like three undefeated seasons and there really wasn't, much media attention or anything, because at the time there were still plenty of teams that, had longer streaks. And then my sister went through, so she's 3 years younger than me, so she got years like 4 through 7. Definitely a lot more intense. I think Chris did a great job of trying to make it one game at a time and not focusing on the streak, but it is always kind of lingering in the corner, in those close games. You don't want to lose. And then as the years went on, it was pretty palpable. You could kind of taste the tension. And then finally being back after I graduated, coming back in 2017 to assist, in the year that we lost, it was almost like you could cut the tension with a knife in every close game. And then having lost, it was like so sad, and to lose in the championship, like, was doubly as painful, but it also, you could kind of feel the tension and the pressure lift off their shoulders. It was the streak. I always joke, and we always joke as alums, was like a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. And I think I read, maybe it was in the Baltimore Sun, someone was quoted saying, it, like you said, it hurt, but at the same time, it was like, okay, like, that's done. That monkey's off our back. Like, let's just keep moving and keep playing. So Obviously, y'all, you know, obviously still an amazing program, and but I was definitely curious about that. And so moving on a little bit into your time at Maryland, so how did you choose to go to Maryland? Obviously, it's close to home. Maybe family played a factor, but, you know, what to you was the main reason for wanting to go to Maryland?
You know, at the end of the day, you know, I was recruited by a lot of great schools, and all of them were, you know, great academic institutions, all had great programs and great success and so much to offer, which was incredibly humbling to kind of have such prestigious schools, you know, want you. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, you know, my decision came down to, you know, where I would be happiest if lacrosse wasn't a factor. Mm. And, you know, you see a lot of kids these days, you know, go to a school just for a coach or just for, you know, the nursing program or whatever it is. But I wanted to make sure that I would be happy there regardless of if lacrosse specifically, a stick in my hand, you know, would make or break whether I liked it there. And even if I wasn't a part of the team, you know, the girls on that team that I met that I knew would be my friends were the people that drew me in. It was mm-hmm. a culture I wanted to be a part of. You know, there were girls on that team who loved to have fun, who are energetic, outspoken, love to compete and push each other, and you know, wanted to win. And so right. I knew I went to lunch with them and they were great off field. And that was kind of the balance I was looking for of, okay, even if God forbid I got a career ending injury, these people would still be in my life mm-hmm. and I would still have incredible teammates. And then, I mean, the cherry on top was Kathy and, you know, Kenneth and Caitlin and their amazing staff at Maryland. They were so, you could tell they were so passionate about the sport, but at the same time knew mm-hmm. an incredibly healthy balance of like fun and then working hard. And at the end of the day, the combination of the people, both on staff and on the team, the business school education that I knew I could get there, the fact that it was close to home, and the fact that they were competing for national championships and that's something I wanted to do, just kind of made it, you know, a really, really easy decision for me.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's great that you mentioned, you know, understanding that this was a place that you would want to be with or without lacrosse. I think what you mentioned about it, you know, being such a monumental decision, but also, like, if something happened, you want to be in a place where you'll be happy no matter what and where you'll succeed no matter what. I spoke with Kylie Olmedal in my last episode, and she also mentioned being able to get the business degree, being able to she later on changed her major to go to business, but I wanted to touch on that too, because, you know, you are the founder of Taylor Cummings Lacrosse and you're hosting amazing clinics all over and you're coaching, you're teaching, doing all these things. Did you always know that you wanted to be in the business of lacrosse, or was that something that kind of came to shape as you went through your years at Maryland?
Definitely didn't think, you know, I'd ever be in a business with lacrosse as kind of the main kind of whole topic. You know, my dad works for Wells Fargo. And so having, you know, grown up with him and watching him in the business world, that was something, you know, I thought would be really fun and also really rewarding in the end. And so I knew I wanted to go to school for business before I went to college, but I didn't necessarily know what I wanted to do. And very, you know, very typical senior, I put off kind of post-college plans because I didn't really want to think about, you know, graduating and moving on. And I kind of just really put it off until I was graduated. And I said I'd figure it out after. And, you know, once I was done, you know, my dad kind of looked at me and was like, I used to give lessons all the time, and sometimes they were in my backyard, so he'd sit out there and, like, listen, or he'd be grilling and would be in there, and he'd be like, you're a really good teacher. Like, you understand the game really well. You should help teach others to do and play and, you know, hopefully one day be able to, you know, go to college and play and be in a pro league and everything. He's like, you are able to teach it. Why not just make a business out of it? And up until that point, I hadn't really thought about it, and so Once summer hit and I knew I had to do something, I decided to just go for it. You know,
Yeah. There
wasn't a better time to go for it than then, where I was living at home. I didn't have any rent or expenses other than, you know, gas in my car, mm-hmm. and, no kids, no nothing to really kind of hold me back. And
right.
I dove right in. I probably gave anywhere from like 200 to 400 lessons that summer to make enough money to start my website and get the insurance I needed and everything covered, and dove right in. So it's been almost 4 years since I started, and the amazing places I've been able to go and the awesome people I've been able to meet, and just seeing how much the sport has grown in the 4 years I've been in business, is just, it's incredible to see, and it makes me really hopeful kind of for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. And I feel like dads just always know. It's like dads are just grilling, coming up with all these ideas in their heads, and then they tell us and we're like, oh, no. And then in the end, they're right. So shout out to all the dads out there. But
exactly.
Thinking, kind of looping back to your time at Maryland, I was curious too, when you were going in as a freshman, did you feel any pressure to like perform at a certain level? And then maybe coming out of college, did you feel any pressure leaving as well?
You know, going in, I don't know if I felt as much pressure as much as just nerves being a freshman, going to a storied program and, being, you know, one of the top recruits in the country, and knowing that not only would my lacrosse scene change, but so would my social scene and my academic scene and my living situation. And there's so much that changes freshman year that I was definitely really nervous in general. And luckily I had amazing teammates and coaches who, you know, again, took me under their wing and helped that transition be really easy. And, you know, afterwards, once college was done, you know, it was, okay, my focus shifted from college to US and pro, and trying to navigate those waters, it was really difficult for me. Just going from playing every day and having your friends to like go to Chipotle with every day, and then not having that team aspect and not consistently playing is definitely tough. But I think, you know, luckily for me, you know, we do have the pro league now, and we do meet consistently for US. And so I still get that team aspect, and I don't think it's much as much pressure as it is just like missing playing.
Yeah, definitely. I was just browsing through Instagram, and a post that you just made maybe a couple of days ago or today came up, where you mentioned, you know, how much fun it is to be with friends and to play every day, and kind of a call to action to all the young people that are still playing and telling them to really appreciate every single time that they pick up their sticks and things like that. And I think that's something that we don't really talk about often. And I love following you on Instagram because you post some real stuff, and I'm always like, yes, like cannot double tap fast enough. But it is hard. Like for me, you know, every day I'm going to work and I love my job, love consulting, but I miss just being out there with my friends playing lacrosse. And I feel like I was so caught up in all my worries of like, I need to be the best player in the world, that I forgot to just have fun and like just forgot to enjoy it. So I think that's something.
It's definitely really tough. And, you know, I don't think we necessarily know how lucky we are and how happy we are in the moment. And so I'm trying to do a better job of that.
Yeah, I feel you. It's hard. It's hard. And shifting a little to social media. So I think you and a couple of other players, both men's and women's just across the sport, have done such an awesome job of utilizing social media to reach people and to reach your fans, reach supporters. And, you know, what's kind of, do you have like a social media tactic? What's your approach to social media, and how have you seen it influence the game as well as your business?
You know, I think social media is a great tool for us to continue to like grow our business and keep our presence relevant. But, you know, as far as like a game plan for social media, I really don't have one. I just try to be my authentic self. And, you know, when I'm having a great day, I'll post I'm having a great day. And if I'm having an awful day, or I'm, you know, not in the right headspace that I usually am, you know, I try to post those as well, trying to be, you know, raw and authentic as much as possible, because I know, like so many other players in my position, that, you know, we are looked up to, and we have little girls that follow us and comment and moms and dads who follow us and show their kids. And it's not always, you know, happy-go-lucky, rainbows and sunshine. Right. And I try to find the positives in everything, but there are days, you know, where it isn't as great. And I try to show, you know, I go through that too, and I do go through tough times.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. One of the, I think it was after the final, your senior year, I think you got interviewed for Lacrosse Magazine, and I remember reading, and you said something that really struck me and that's inspired me every day. You said something along the lines of, the sun is going to rise tomorrow. Like, they asked, you know, Taylor, how are you feeling? Like, this happened, all these things, and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, you know, I'm disappointed. I'm feeling X, Y, Z, but the sun is going to rise tomorrow. And I think that was something that really struck with me because, you know, like you mentioned, not every day is going to be a perfect happy day where we're catching with our friends and scoring all these goals and doing all these things. But tomorrow is like a fresh new day, and we get to do something else, and we get to try again, and all these things. And I think social media is a really great opportunity to show like the good and the bad. And, you know, obviously being a professional athlete, some days like really tough. You got tryouts, you're coaching, you're traveling all over, you know, doing all these different things. So I appreciate the realness, like sticks with us. And yeah, so talking a little bit more about going pro. So we know you're with Team USA. You've gotten, you know, gold medal, continuously competing with Team USA. What's that like? What's that experience like playing at the highest level for your country?
Well, playing for US is, you know, incredibly humbling. And I think the coolest thing is hearing your national anthem on foreign soil and realizing, you know, you're representing the country away from home. And I'm so fortunate to be able to be in this system and to play with and be coached by, you know, the best in the game. I always tell, you know, my high school kids and the girls that I interact with at clinics and lessons that, you know, after every weekend, we still get critiqued and we still get, you know, okay, here's what you can improve on, and here's what needs to be better, and here's what you're really doing well. And I think that's important for all of us to hear, because we can still improve and we can still get better. And I am pushed every single time that I'm at practice or a game by my teammates, because they're incredible players and they're even better teammates. And I think it's a great system to be a part of. It's a huge honor and it's a lot of fun, and makes us, you know, we're playing for something bigger than ourselves, which I think is a feeling that we all loved in college and remains true for US. And as far as pro goes, you know, having the ability to continue to give players, younger ones, something to dream about and aspire to play in and be, it's huge for the growth of our sport, men's and women's, to have professional leagues. And so, you know, there are people, there's an interest there. There's people who want to play. There's people who want to watch, and give players an opportunity to continue playing outside of the college scene.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that's the big thing too, is, you know, a couple years ago, the big dream was, you know, Team USA, and now there's another dream. There's the WPLL. It's so exciting as female athletes to have more of those goals we can reach towards, and then being able to see and even sometimes communicate with our favorite athletes that are in these leagues and on these teams. It's just so exciting to see the growth of the game. And I'm always, I just love, like, every time something new happens, something new comes out, whether it's a stick, it's rules, it's just, there's so many great discussions that are fostered. And it's just awesome to see the game continue to evolve. So definitely agree with you on that. In terms of competition, like, you know, what are kind of some of the differences in preparing for, you know, whether it's a spring premiere with Team USA or I know they don't necessarily, might not have tryouts per se for you, but just preparing to play, you know, how have you kind of adjusted your game and your preparation as a player to make sure you're ready to compete every single day with people that are at your same level?
You know, the training's definitely tough, and it's harder because you're alone for 99% of the time. You're not in the weight room. You're not on the field running next to your teammates and, you know, cheering them on as they lift and you lift. And so that was something I really struggled with after I graduated, was getting motivated to work out without having the motivation be right beside me. And, you know, I think we all really rely on each other to, you know, whether it's like helpful texts or, you know, comments on Instagram or whatever it is, just to kind of like be with each other even when we're gone and even when we're apart. And that's huge in terms of our chemistry and the ability for us to kind of meet every, you know, 2 months and not see each other and jump right in and play and act like, you know, we've been playing together every day. In terms of like my preparation, you know, I work out probably 6 days a week, try to cross train between running long distance, running interval sprints and shorter distance. I lift twice a week with our trainer, Jay Dyer, and then have recently started to incorporate some two-a-days now that we're getting closer to U.S. Doing, you know, runs and then boot camp or runs and then yoga or something, just kind of preparing our bodies, because there are days where we play 4 or 5, potentially even 6 hours a day, depending on if you're in tryouts or not. And mm-hmm. So I'm not 18 years old anymore and trying to make sure I'm fit and ready to go to be able to compete against 18-year-olds is a challenge that I find pretty fun. I love to work out, so it's been fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I might need to get some tips from you after this, because I like working out, but I also like eating everything and taking naps. So there's a disconnect, but, you know, I'm working on it. But, yeah, that's awesome to hear kind of how you've shifted your training and the importance of like self-accountability. Yep. Because like you said, you're not with, you know, your college team every day working out, but it's really fun to follow along, and I love seeing people's workouts that they post and you know, trying them out as well. I think, again, like a great thing about social media, being able to share that information and get inspired when I see, you know, some of my favorite athletes or my friends working out. It's always fun. But like I said, and it's Girl Scout cookie season, so I have not seen the gym in a minute, but I'll be back there before
that's all right. Before my everybody league. Needs their rest.
Right. Exactly. Just a little extended rest. And so kind of the big topic that I wanted to ask you about was, you know, what's it been like to go back and coach at your alma mater and be the head coach? And like you mentioned, you know, seeing teachers that you had that are now your friends and colleagues and, you know, kind of just like entering a new phase of your lacrosse career.
Yeah, coaching, you know, was never – I didn't actually know if I wanted to coach or not. So my first year at McDonough as an assistant, I was like, okay, this is my trial. Like, we'll see how I like it. And it was amazing how much I actually really loved it. You know, the girls, my assistants, being back at a place that was so very dear to my heart and felt like home, just made it feel, you know, really right. I love going out to practice every day and being with girls, you know, consistently who were trying to compete towards a common goal. I think the hardest thing for me as a coach is that I'm not a player, and having to, you know, figure out how to either portray things that we want, or more importantly, how to let go of the control and realize that I don't have the actual ball in my stick, mm-hmm. the actual stick in my hands. Like, I'm relying on myself and my assistants having done enough and having prepared our girls enough to go out and do it themselves. So mm-hmm. as a type A personality, that was not always the easiest thing to relinquish control. But it's been really exciting too. I think it's helped me, you know, as a player, see things differently and approach things differently. And has just been a lot of fun, where I'm on year 2 as a head coach, year 3 as back at the program, and I'm excited for the year to come.
Yeah, that's amazing. And what was kind of the reaction of your players when either they heard that you were coming or like saw you come to practice? I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, I feel like I would be really nervous, like, oh, I just saw her on TV, or I just saw her playing in Maryland, and now she's watching me.
So my first year as an assistant, I actually had a ton of girls on the team that I had coached in club. Oh. So they all knew me for almost like 6 or 7 years. So I don't think there was a shock factor. I think they kind of just were like, okay, she's here. And I think, you know, my goal was to make myself as relatable and down to earth as possible. And, you know, I've never seen myself as like Taylor Cummings or anything like that. I'm just, you know, a player, and now I'm a coach, and just trying to be, you know, emulate the coaches that I had and mm-hmm. teach them and make them feel as comfortable with me as I did, you know, with Scott and with Kathy and the various coaches I've had.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's a great point of kind of emulating really great influences that you've had. And then, like you mentioned, comfortability. I think the jitters that I would have, like, you know, when I was going to a new, trying out for a new team or going to college or even high school, was like, oh man, like, I don't know, what if, you know, I make this mistake. But the places that I performed the best, and the coach that I, the coach Mark Moser, who I played with for Uproar, like, he just made everyone feel so comfortable. It didn't matter your level of play or how much experience you had. It was just like, he wants everyone to have fun, to play really hard and, you know, do your best. So that's something that I love to hear. And, you know, the more I go out and start to coach, I want to emulate that, of making sure players are comfortable and they're having fun and those kinds of things. And, you know, just thinking age-wise too, you mentioned you're 25, and you know, how do you think kind of being close in age to your players has been beneficial in being able to really connect with them, especially stepping into a head coach position?
You know, I think it's I'm in a unique position, and I think it's been really helpful because I'm playing and I'm still playing. And so I know exactly what they're going through, and I'm close enough to their age in high school where I understand and remember, like, the drama of high school and what, like, there's so many other factors going into players' moods besides, like, practice that day. It can be class. It can be, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends and parents and friends and everything. And so I feel like I can, and my staff is really young as well, and I feel like we just can understand where they're at mentally and physically and emotionally. And, you know, I think that gives us better insight into how to coach them and be there for them. It's such a tough, high school is so tough. And so we try to do our best, you know, remember that they are 14 to 18 year olds, and find the balance as best as possible.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great point. And in terms of kind of your family and community members and some of your teammates, you know, what was that response like when you let them know you were stepping in and taking that position?
I think they were really excited. You know, my sister graduated in 2016, and 2017 was a year of no Cummings family members. And then, you know, slowly my dad gets back involved, kind of on the administrative side. And, my mom ends up working back at the school store, and then I head back and coach. And I think you see that a lot with a lot of McDonough families, is that people leave and then they return. So I think my family was really excited. You know, I think they encouraged me to take the jump and see if I liked it. And, you know, my family and my friends, especially those who went there, you know, they were just like, it just feels right for you to be back.
That's awesome.
Like, there's no other place I'd want to coach high school, just as Maryland's the only place I'd ever want to coach college. So it felt like the right situation.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I mean, that positive feedback and support from your family too, I'm sure, like, sealed the deal here. Okay, yep, this is my place. Like, this is where I want to be. And exactly. Just looking at the game and the women's game, especially from kind of a global/big, I guess, bird's eye perspective, you know, there's a lot of talk of wanting to make the game more aggressive, wanting to do helmets, like, let's make the field shorter, just all kind of different styles of play. And then understanding too, you know, you have gotten to play with some of the experimental rules at the global level. What are some things that you see for the future of the game, and maybe some other things that you're like, I don't know if I would like that much?
You know, I think, you know, there's so many different renditions of lacrosse. My hope is that at one point, at least high school, college, those two can, you know, play under the same rules. And I think we're slowly getting there. As far as pro goes, you know, I think having pro and collegiate team levels, you know, having a shot clock, I think, was the best thing for our game. It made it faster. It made it less freeze tag, is what I heard for so many years. Having, you know, free movement, more aggressive play, I think that just makes people want to watch it, and it makes it more fun to play. So I think the rules are really taking a step in the right direction. You know, as far as Olympic rules go, with the Olympics, you know, their main concern is roster size. And, you know, figuring out how to make sure it's in somewhat even playing field while also, you know, not making 18 to 20 person rosters per team. So I think that's where we saw the emergence of the Olympic rules. It's a fun, fast-paced game. I think if we are to get into the Olympics anytime soon, this is the version that it's going to be. And similar to how, you know, outdoor lacrosse or box lacrosse, I think you're just going to have different versions for different levels of play, which I think can show the versatility of the game and give opportunities for people at different levels. You know, people who might be really good at the Olympic style may not be good at the full field version and vice versa. So my hope is one day, you know, collegiate, high school, international, they all get on the same page. And then as far as Olympics, you know, doing whatever we can to get that the sport on that main level, main stage, it's huge.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And just, you know, in terms of ways to get more people involved, so grow the game, that's something that we, you know, see kind of all over social media, see different conversations about. What are some key ways that you see as, like, ways that lacrosse can be either more accessible or maybe kind of grow bigger, both domestically and then at the global scale as well?
You know, I think the biggest thing is starting from the grassroots. So getting kids involved in it at a younger age, I think, is crucial for the overall growth of the sport. You see a lot of, you know, a lot of youth leagues are dying out in comparison to the growth of club teams. And so I think getting back to that root, that, you know, rec roots level in all areas, making it accessible for, you know, different demographics in the city, out in the country, East Coast, West Coast, you know, international, domestic. I think that's that, starting at, you know, getting kids sticks in their hands at 6, 7, 8, and then also providing opportunities for areas that, you know, don't have that, those, you know, for older ages, I think will you know, continue to help grow this game.
Yeah, definitely, definitely agreed. I think, you know, organizations like Harlem Lacrosse and the U.S. Lacrosse Sankofa Clinic Series that I'm part of, like, those are really, really great opportunities to give young people, and especially the little ones, just a chance to just run around and play the game, like, no pressure, just learn the game. And I think that's, like, a really great way of growing it. And of course, you know, social media in itself, being able to share different clips of games and really kind of hyping up the game, getting it out there a lot more faster, you know, just how quick we can share information now, I think, big ways to share the information. So definitely agree on that. And yeah, so kind of just, you know, one thing I like to ask people that come on the pod is, maybe, and I might switch this up for you, because you did mention you picked up the stick pretty early on when you were six. So what is some advice that you'd give to your younger self anytime that you were feeling down about whether your future in lacrosse or, you know, you're comparing yourself or just kind of down in the dumps about playing?
You know, I think the biggest thing that I tell younger kids, is that, you know, if you are down in the dumps, it's kind of doing some self-reflection and figuring out why, like, the root of the problem. Is it that, you know, you had a bad game, or is it that you actually just don't really like the sport? And, you know, I feel like kids have so many opportunities to do so many incredible things, both on the lacrosse field and then, you know, in the theater, in choir, in music, in whatever their passion may be. So I always tell kids, you know, if you are consistently unhappy, if you're consistently not loving going to practice and not loving going to games, that's okay. Like, clearly you have a passion in another area, and or you don't know where that passion is. And being young, you have the opportunity to go explore as many different things as you want. So I think I tell younger kids, you know, find your passion. If it's in lacrosse, great, go into it with your full heart. And if it's not, use your youth to go explore as many options as you can.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. And especially, you know, thinking of all the different things that, I mean, there's even more now. Like, I played field hockey and lacrosse and was really into, like, graphic design and coding and all these things. And now there's TikTok, and, you know, young people are making careers from that, and vlogging and writing and all these, like, different outlets. And I think that's a really important message, because sometimes, you know, we're like, oh, but all my friends are doing this thing and I really want to be good at this thing, so maybe I have to stick it out. But it's like, you could be good at something else and you can really succeed in that. But, you know, just trying to enjoy whatever it is we do. So I definitely appreciate that And I think that's something that, you know, older people can take away from as well, is finding our passions and making sure we keep time in our lives to do fun things and not just work all the time. So definitely appreciate that. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for joining me on the pod today. I cannot wait to share this with everyone. I know we're all super excited for it, and best of luck. I look forward to supporting you with the WPLL this summer and all the awesome endeavors that you're going to have.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your night. Really appreciate it.
Of course.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.